It's 12:30. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News. A longtime community activist says he's happy that a health clinic for underserved populations will be under local control. But Terry Townsend says the new management of Francis Nelson Health Center has been secretive about its plans and appears to be shutting out the very community where it was founded. He says it's also premature for the Community Healthcare Coalition to consider a name change for the facility, and he may petition the federal government to slow down the scheduled June 1st transition. Townsend says Frances Nelson's name was not related to health care, but for helping African Americans. He says she donated the use of her home in the late 60s when young black residents weren't able to stay at Cunningham Children's Home. Townsend says an agreement was made to name a vacant home in the Carver Park neighborhood after Frances Nelson in order to serve the low-income population, including a number of U of I students. Townsend says he questions the secrecy and the urgency behind the transition at the facility.
So a lot of things have been done behind closed doors that community leaders such as myself, we have not really looked at the information. And I've had some conversations with them, preliminary conversations. So we just don't know what they're doing. How are we changing healthcare delivery for people that need it, and why?
Townsend's comments echo those of Champaign City Council member Michael Ledoux, who said in the Champaign City Council meeting last night that it is offensive to suggest changing the name at Francis Nelson. The Community Healthcare Coalition announced May 1st that it was taking control of Francis Nelson from a Decatur-based group in order to provide better access to local healthcare providers. Visiting academic professionals at the University of Illinois are voting on the administration's last, best, and final contract offer. It's the offer that the university presented to the Association of Academic Professionals last month, and it's one that union spokesman Alan Belansky says he hopes union members will reject.
First of all, it essentially outlaws merit pay. It says that managers cannot give raises to employees just to recognize good work or to retain good people, or to correct any possible discrimination. Also, there's no guaranteed raise for 3 years.
Merit pay is currently a possibility for visiting academic professionals, just like other academic professionals on the Urbana campus. But the VAPs are not sharing in a pay raise that academic professionals received last year. Belansky says the university's contract offer would give them that pay raise, but doesn't provide for raises in the later years of the four-year agreement. Union members are voting on the contract by mail. The deadline is May 25th. Belansky says he hopes rejection of the contract will bring the university back to the bargaining table, but the administration has said they will not accept any changes to that offer. About 300 visiting academic professionals have been working at the U of I Urbana campus without a contract since last summer. Illinois State University's Board of Trustees is set to consider a 4.4% increase for new in-state students this fall. The Bloomington Pantograph reports the proposal is on the agenda for Friday's board meeting. If approved, incoming freshmen and undergraduate transfer students from Illinois would pay $335 per credit hour. That means full-time students taking 15 credits per semester would pay a little more than $10,000 for two semesters. University spokesman Jay Grove says ISU wants to recommend a modest increase because of the economy, but Grove says the university added a cushion because state funding cuts could cause problems. Tuition for new out-of-state full-time undergrads would increase $578 per credit hour. The board also will consider a 3% increase in residence hall rates. A new audit finds major problems in the College Illinois Tuition Savings Program, including possible financial conflicts among top personnel. Auditor General William Holland reported today that the former executive director of College Illinois did not disclose conflicts of interest, and another official made a $500,000 investment with an investment manager that was applying to handle the program's money. The report says College Illinois also ignored or changed its criteria for deciding how to invest money that participants put into the program. Meanwhile, costs nearly tripled in just 5 years. The prepaid tuition program has stopped accepting new customers. The Illinois Student Assistance Commission says new leadership has already begun making changes and adding new safeguards. Indiana's Republican establishment is embracing State Treasurer Richard Murdoch as its new Senate candidate while trying to shrug off a stinging statement from ousted Senator Richard Lugar criticizing the direction of his party. State GOP leaders flocked together just hours after Murdoch handily beat Lugar in Tuesday's Republican primary, but Lugar's three-page critique of Murdoch and the rightward drift of his party hung over claims of party unity today. Governor Mitch Daniels said it was not the statement he would have chosen to go with, although he understands Lugar's angst. Democratic Senate candidate Joe Donnelly, meanwhile, picked up the Lugar criticism and ran with it this morning in his appeal to Lugar supporters. National Democrats have promised to pour funds into the November election to help Donnelly. So how did Richard Lugar lose after 36 years in the Senate? Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports.
Lugar hadn't faced a primary opponent since he was first elected in 1976. Murdoch brought that challenge with significant Tea Party backing and the super PAC funding that came with it and cruised to a sizable victory in the Republican primary Tuesday. Leading into Election Day, Lugar trailed in the polls and had largely been counted out by political analysts. The six-term incumbent was dogged in the campaign by questions about his Indiana residency and whether he was conservative enough for the far right wing of the Republican Party. In his concession speech, Lugar talked about his long service to Indiana and looked ahead to his hopes for the general election.
Hoosiers deserve the best representation possible. They deserve legislators who will listen to their entire spectrum of citizen views and work to achieve consensus.
Murdoch will face Democrat Joe Donnelly in November's general election. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
As state leaders look to cut Illinois' pension costs, the mayor of the state's largest city is trying to do the same. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel traveled to the Capitol Tuesday to introduce his own pension plan. Amanda Vinicky has this report.
Emanuel wasn't just presenting his case to state legislators for the publicity. He needs the General Assembly's approval to make changes to the city's retirement system. Without changes, he says, for Chicago to meet its pension obligations, the city's property taxes would have to increase 150%.